WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam announces a big new program for Virginia universities to churn out thousands of new tech grads. This week's election results in a record high number of women in the state legislature. One of those women, a Muslim of Indian heritage, elected to the state Senate, has sparked a hateful, racist backlash on social media. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, November 8th. Governor Ralph Northam announced Thursday that 11 universities will participate in the Commonwealth of Virginia's Tech Talent Investment Program. The program, which includes the University of Virginia, James Madison University, and Virginia Tech, aims to create 31,000 new computer science graduates by 2039. The TTIP was created by the General Assembly as part of the Commonwealth's efforts to meet the employment needs of Amazon, locating its second headquarters in Northern Virginia, as well as the growing tech industry in the Commonwealth. Millions of dollars in startup funds can be used for faculty recruitment, capital investment, and enrollment funding. Over the next 20 years, JMU has agreed to graduate an additional 467 bachelor's degrees in the tech field, and UVA will produce more than 3,000 graduates with bachelor's degrees. Now, the Democrats have won control of the House of Delegates. They'll have to figure out who will become the next Speaker of the House. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the breakdown.
House Democratic Leader Eileen Filarkorn would be the obvious choice for Speaker, but she has competition. LaCherise Aird of Petersburg, Luke Torian of Prince William County, and Ken Plum of Reston. And even more candidates could jump in the race before Saturday's closed-door caucus in Richmond. And that means one thing.
Horse trading at its best.
That's former Republican delegate David Ramadan, now George Mason University. He's been in the room where it happened for these kinds of struggles on the Republican side, and he says House members are now getting calls asking for their support.
There may be a pull for having a minority person. The Black Caucus is a very strong caucus, so it might be a Nova versus Rova and a minority versus a non-minority candidates in this race.
Rachel Bitticoffer at Christopher Newport University says Filarkorn is next in line. And these kinds of campaigns for leadership positions are sometimes long-shot candidacies to make a statement.
By doing so, it's putting this, the moderate or, established wing of the Democratic House Caucus on notice that the Progressive Caucus is, there, and they are expecting, to be recognized and to see legislative action on the issues that they care about.
The caucus meeting is Saturday, when Democrats will emerge with a winner who will be Speaker designate, but he or she won't actually be Speaker until a floor vote of all 100 members. Michael Pope.
Current House Speaker Kirk Cox says new blood is needed to lead Republicans after the GOP lost its two-decade-old majority in the House of Delegates. Cox said Wednesday in a letter to fellow Republicans that he will not seek a leadership post when the caucus meets later this month. Cox has served three decades in the House and one term as Speaker. He won a hard-fought race against a well-funded Democrat this year. This week's election resulted in a record high number of women in the legislature. From VPM News, Yasmin Juma reports.
For the first time in Virginia history, there are more women in the General Assembly than ever before, holding 41 out of the 140 seats. The Senate added two women. In the House of Representatives, female representation is up by four. One of the elected women is Democrat Shelley Simons of the 94th District. She attributed women's success this election to something she says voters need, a change.
There was this desire for more diversity and more balance.
Dr. Kenesha Grant teaches political science at Howard University. She says people want legislators that they can relate to.
Women who are elected to office can bring perspective. They are thinking about policy issues from a different position than a man might think about policy issues because they have a different life experience.
Grant says if Democrats want to carry the momentum into the 2020 election, they should support more women and candidates of color.
That's Yasmin Juma from VPM News reporting. One of those women elected Tuesday has sparked a hateful backlash. News stories on social media about the first Muslim American elected to the state Senate have generated hundreds of bigoted comments. Ghazala Hashmi's win in the 10th District near Richmond helped Democrats flip the Senate in Tuesday's election. All major news outlets in the Richmond area posted stories on Facebook about Hashmi's victory. Within moments, those articles attracted comments, many of them disparaging. Several people suggested that Hashmi was part of a plot to, quote, destroy America from within. Dozens of comments mentioned guns or called on Virginians to arm themselves in response. Other people expressed dismay at the bigotry they were reading on Facebook. Hashmi is Indian American and a former academic administrator and educator. Virginia's largest cash crop for most of its history took another hit in 2019. The tobacco farming in the Commonwealth is just a shadow of its former self, as Charles Fishburne with VPM News reports.
The USDA says Virginia flu-cured production will drop by 29% from last year to about 30 million pounds. That is about half of what the colony produced just before the Revolutionary War. Part of the problem this year is the trade war.
We still have tobacco in storage that was contracted in 2018 for export to China.
Tony Banks, Virginia Farm Bureau Federation.
It's waiting for the trade dispute to die down.
But China is not the only problem.
Just as important is the continued decline in American smokers. That number has been dropping since the early 1970s.
Tobacco has now dropped to the 10th most important crop in Virginia. But it may have a future beyond smoking. Growers in other states, particularly North Carolina, are testing it and producing it for flu vaccine and other pharmaceutical products. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, the Smith House Galleries in Harrisonburg highlights art from the city and Rockingham County. Its work is supported by Arts Council of the Valley. WMRA's Chris Boros spoke with Jenny Burden, executive director of the council, and he asked her about how the council acquired the Smith House.
The Daily News Record wanted to expand, and this home that was the fourth oldest home in Harrisonburg, it was built in 1867, they did not want to demolish it, but at the same time, they needed the space for expansion.
So it's the fourth oldest house in Harrisonburg.
It is the fourth. It was built in 1867. They actually brought to show you an oil panorama of Harrisonburg that was painted in 1867. By an artist by the name of Emma Bryan. And it is now, this panorama of Harrisonburg hangs in the Historical Society in Dayton. And it has on the very far right edge, the Smith House.
And you can check out that picture now, WMRA.org. Mm-hmm. And this house is now Arts Council's main administrative building.
It is.
So you work in this house every day?
I do. My office is in what was, I believe, the dining room.
What's it like to work there every day in this awesome place?
It is a gift. It is a gift every day because we have gallery space and we have the Darren McCone Gallery and the Rhapsody Room, and the two galleries together make up the Smith House Galleries. We are showcasing our artist members, which are all local artists in the community. We have 31 different artists represented.
How did you get involved with Arts Council of the Valley? Are you an artist yourself?
I am an art historian.
Okay.
By education.
Nice.
An art historian. But I have always loved art.
What is it about studying art? What can we learn by looking at art throughout the years?
Oh my gosh. Well, it is how we learn about history,
Civilizations
throughout time. How do we know anything about them? It is by what was left behind. And most of what was left behind is their art.
What else is happening in the Harrisonburg art community? Is it thriving? Is there a lot going on?
It is absolutely thriving, yes. In fact, the Virginia Commission for the Arts, which is the statewide agency that funds arts organizations and nonprofits, was just here on Wednesday and held a town hall for the arts. And Harrisonburg had the second largest attendees at one of these town halls, and they've been going all throughout the state. So there were more than 40 people at this town hall, and they were businesses, they were other nonprofits, they were artists, they were educators, all in this one room talking about how the arts help with healing, how they help with education, and also what we can do for artists themselves.
Can you imagine life without art?
No.
I know.
Oh my gosh, no. Are you kidding?
It would be not fun.
It would not only be not, it would be deadly dull.
It would be dull. There wouldn't be that much to look forward to in life.
No, no.
You know, we look forward to things that are art. We look forward to a movie that's coming out. We look forward to a new record.
A play.
Art just kind of makes you alive.
Architecture. About architecture. It really does. Yeah. It is a life force.
And even people who aren't really into it, art, they probably don't realize how important it is to their lives.
No, they don't. Yeah. I used to do a little spiel, I guess you'd call it, in one of my talks where I would say, okay, the alarm goes off and, you know, Kenny Chesney is blaring on the radio. And so you wake up, you throw your embroidered pillows up on the bed, you go use your designer toothbrush. All of that, I mean, you've touched art. They have touched your life.
You don't think about the box of cereal being art, but somebody had to design it.
Somebody had to design it. That's right.
Some graphic artist had to put that box of Cheerios together.
Right. I mean, just every facet of your life has had an artist's hand in it. So no, I can't imagine life without art.
Me either. I don't want to think about life without art. Jenny Burden is the Executive Director of Arts Council of the Valley, and the fourth annual Artist Member Exhibition is now the current exhibition at the Smith Galleries. Jenny, thanks again.
Thank you.
We should note that Arts Council of the Valley is an occasional underwriting sponsor of WMRA programming. Learn more about the Smith House Galleries at WMRA.org. WMRA's Sara Amin provided production assistance for this interview. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Friday.